Hey, do you remember this? Have you seen one of these before? Maybe it's been a while, but there was a day when this right here was the talk of the town. Do you remember when the selfie stick first came out? I mean, it didn't matter if you were in Buckhead or Birmingham, Atlanta or Albany, Hong Kong or New York. These things were everywhere. And I think in some ways, the selfie stick really does highlight the narcissism that is in all of us. But even more than that, I think it highlights this desire that we have now that we have this camera that we walk around with. It highlights this desire to capture moments. We want to remember what it was that we ate at that restaurant that was so awesome. We want to remember the friends that we were with on that exciting night. And I don't think that's bad. In fact, I think there's something in us that knows that that's a powerful part of life, to be able to capture a moment. Why? Well, because a picture can remind us. I've even heard someone say that a photograph, every time I look at it, it just makes me laugh. Who was that? The greatest band on the planet, Nickelback? Is that who said that? You remember that. Well, it's the power of the picture. It's the power of the photograph. And that's what I want to talk about for a little bit today as we take the next step further in this series called Welcome the Wilderness. There's been three parts to the series. Learning to welcome the wilderness was part one. Part two was the temptation that Jesus faced and how there's something in that for us on how we might be able to face the temptations that seem greater. So if you missed part one or part two, I hope that you'll catch up. But as for today, the title of this message is Don't Forget to Remember. Don't forget to remember. Today's not just for somebody who is in the middle of the wilderness. This season has felt like a wilderness. The more people I talk to, the more conversations I have, the more I realize that it feels like we're walking around in the wilderness. We don't know where the end is. We don't know how long we're going to be in this. There's so many unpredictable obstacles that have popped up along the way. But today's not just for anyone who might feel like they're in the wilderness. No, today is for every single one of us who knows that down the road, at some point, there is a wilderness coming for every single one of us. And today is for all of us to start preparing for the wilderness. There's something we can do. There's something we can pack in our bags. There's something we can do to prepare for that season of life where the external changes have created this feeling of being lost internally. Life is really filled with two kinds of moments, right? There are moments of dark, those moments when you were just hoping God would come through, but it felt like He wasn't answering your prayer. Felt like He was distant, or even worse, felt like He was absent. Those moments where it seemed like He was just stretching your faith, testing your faith in ways that you just wished that He wouldn't, never would hope that He would. But then there are moments of light. Those moments of life that are the, how would I ever forget this kind of moment? Those I can't believe this is actually happening kind of moment. Those pinch me kind of moments. You know, the time when you were hoping so bad after the job interview that they would just call and say, you're the guy, you're the girl, we want you, you got the job. Or maybe that moment, when that season where you were looking so forward to being in a relationship and you just were feeling lonely or down, and then you saw that person. And you locked eyes, had that amazing night, date after date after date, and you fell in love, and then the moment came and you couldn't believe, oh my goodness, we're getting married. Or maybe it was that season where you just wanted so badly to have a child. And you just thought, wait, it doesn't seem like it's gonna happen. I don't know if it can, I don't know if it will. And then you get the news that you're pregnant. Yeah, see, those moments of light are so beautiful and amazing. And we think, well, how could I ever forget? Well, because we're people and we forget all of the time. In fact, I sat down the other day just to ask my wife about this topic. And I said, hey, can you think of one of those moments for us where we felt like God had been so faithful, he had answered our prayers, but yet now we've just forgot about it, or we haven't thought about it recently. And she reminded me of a situation that the more I started thinking about it, the more I remembered how it felt in that season, and the more it made me realize, wow, I have not thought about this in years. When my wife was pregnant with our son, who's now 9 years old, she had a scare in the pregnancy. The ultrasound technicians, we could tell there was alarm on her face and there was a medical issue with this child. And my wife and I went home that day so concerned and so dejected and so frustrated and just so sad. But the most difficult part of it, like many of you have experienced, were the next several months where we just had to walk around with uncertainty. We don't know how this is going to turn out. We don't know how many people we should tell about this. We don't know, should we get other opinions? Should we get other tests? And so we just waited. And that delivery of that child was one of the most scary deliveries for us. And as soon as he was born and we heard that cry, and a few minutes later after they did all the checks, the doctor looked at us and said, well, either God has just completely healed him or we just misdiagnosed it, but he's totally fine, completely healthy. And it was such a relief. It was such a moment of excitement for us. But then you just move on in life. And 9 years later, it's a season of my life that I haven't thought about in a long time. Why? Because we're all prone to forget. We're all prone to forget those moments of light. So why is this so important? Why is it so important to remember these moments of light? Well, because the wilderness is dark. The wilderness feels like a dark place that we're walking around. And when we can't see what's ahead of us, we tend to doubt. So why do we do that? Why do we doubt in the dark the very thing that God has done in the light? Why are we so tempted to forget those amazing moments of light and all that we learned about God and his providence and his faithfulness? Why do we doubt in the dark what God has done in the light? Well, for a number of reasons. Too often, we forget God's faithfulness. We remember all of his failures in our mind, but we don't ever hardly remember those moments of faithfulness. Or even worse, we're all prone to take credit for his faithfulness. It's just easier to blame him for what we see as failures. But in the wilderness, when we're walking around in the dark, it is essential to have moments of memory. In the wilderness, we need the light to bring hope to the dark. In the wilderness, we need the light of what God has done to be a beacon of hope, a ray of light to the dark. Because the light is powerful. The light has the potential to bring hope to the dark, but only when we choose to remember what happened in the light. If we forget what happened in the light, if we fail to remember what happened in the light, then it does no good. But if we remember, if we don't forget to remember what God did, it can bring hope. It can bring hope even to the darkest days. And so we've got to pay attention. We've got to pay attention to what God has commanded his people to do. This same group of people that we talked about the first part of the series, these Israelites that were walking around the desert for almost 40 years, it's no wonder that God commanded them. He said, hey, I know you're going to forget. I know you're going to have a season where you're not going to remember all that I have done. So I'm going to tell you, I'm commanding you to do something about it. And that's what I want to talk about just for a few minutes. I want to look at the story together. This is fast forward now at the very end of the 40-year journey. They're right at the cusp, right at the edge of this promised land that God had teased out for them, that they had longed for and hoped for. They were about to enter into it when God said, wait, hang on. I've got something I want you to go do. And Joshua, who was the heir apparent to Moses, Joshua records this culmination of their journey into the promised land. This is probably somewhere around 1400 BC, 40 years of going nowhere in the desert. And the ultimate promise of this book that Joshua gave us, this chronicled history that he gave us, the ultimate promise is found in Joshua 1:8, where he said, be strong and courageous, for I, the Lord your God, will be with you. That's the essence of the story of God's people through Joshua, to remind them, you can be strong, you can be courageous, because I am with you wherever you go. But he said, but I want you to do something to remind you of how good I have been and how good I still can be. And so this is what happens. This is found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. We're gonna look all the way to the end of chapter 3, all the way into chapter 4, all the way to verse 9. Here's the way this story goes. Now the Jordan River, is at flood stage. It's at flood stage all during harvest. And this was right around when they come to the edge of it and go, oh, how are we going to get across this? But it was at its swiftest, it was at its deepest, it was at its widest. The nearest mountain, Mount Hermon, had melted all of the snow at that point. After the rainy season had ended, it all washes down into the Jordan River. And there is this beautiful river about 3 football fields wide during this rainy season. So this was no small task. This was like one of those difficult rivers in Oregon Trail that you come and look at and go, am I gonna be able to ford this? Not afford this, am I gonna be able to ford this river? You remember. Verse 15 continues, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark, as soon as they reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Verse 16 says it just piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. And the water that was flowing down to the Sea of Arabah or the Dead Sea, it was completely cut off. And so the people crossed over opposite the city of Jericho. Now, I don't know where that lands with you. I mean, that's just hard to even fathom. And if you're a person who loves science and you love logic and reason, and if you love analyzing things and explaining how, there are some natural explanations that historians have given us on how this may have happened. There have been 3 recorded earthquakes that we know of that actually dammed up this river. And maybe that's what God used to part this river. It would have taken probably about a half a day for 2 million Israelites to cross the Jordan River. But what we know is that even the ground was dry. That maybe this was some kind of miracle from God. Maybe God intervened and touched down onto earth and separated this river so that his people could get across. Verse 17 says, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they stopped in the middle of the Jordan, look at what it says, and stood on dry ground while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. How amazing is this? And surely this is something that these people would never forget, right? Surely this is something that they would always look at next time they bump into something difficult and they go, I don't know that God can do this. Surely they would go, oh, come on. You don't think God can do this? Do you remember what he did at the Jordan River? You've got to be kidding me. This is nothing compared to what God has done. And maybe we would even think, well, how could they forget this? Well, they could forget this because they already had forgotten this. You remember how they got into the wilderness in the first place? They're leaving Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. Pharaoh is hot on their tracks and they look at the sea and go, oh no, it's over. And God dams up the river, parts the Red Sea and allows them to walk across just 40 years before this. Of course they could forget. Of course they could forget that even the way God freed them from Egypt, that he used frogs and gnats and flies and thunder and all kinds of miracles to help them even get to the place where he could perform the ultimate miracle. God did even more for them. They're out there in the wilderness as they're walking around. You might remember from part one where they complained about the food. And God goes, oh, I got you. Are you hungry? Would you like more food? Well, here, every morning when you wake up, I'm going to put manna on the ground. I'm going to provide food for you even while you're in the wilderness. How could they forget? Because they're forgetful, because they're like us. Because it's just hard to remember when you're in the middle of the wilderness, when you're in the darkness. It's as if nothing else ever happened before this moment. And we get so fixated and consumed with our difficult circumstance that we forget all that God had ever done. Maybe this is true for you. I mean, if you could go back to your 10 years before this self and say, remember when all you wanted was a house? All you wanted was your own place. And look at you. Now you have one. Or you remember that season of your life where all you wanted to do was to be married. Here you are. Or all you wanted was a job, a steady paycheck. All you wanted to do was to be able to get to America. All you wanted was to get pregnant. All you wanted was the iPhone 10. Look at you now. Look at what he's done, but it's so easy to forget. Our eyes adjust to the light, and then we just take it for granted. And sometimes the light can decrease our dependence on God. We just begin to feel entitled. We begin to feel like this is the way it should be. We become self-reliant. At worst, we even start taking responsibility for the good that's happened to us. And we fail to recognize what God has done. We fail to recognize and remember where we came from. So God knows this. He knows this about the Israelites, and he knows this about us. And so he commands them to do something very specific. See, this command that he gave them was something that was for them, but I believe that the principle of this is still as true today as it was a couple thousand years ago. Here's what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. And I want you to tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priests are standing, and then carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So he tells them, hey, go get these 12 men to go back into the river and pick up a huge stone and then take it to the place where you're camping. He gives them this instruction. And what I love about Joshua, we don't know a ton about his character and about the kind of person he was, but he could have shrugged this off. He could have said, yeah, that's what God said, but we're not gonna worry about that. Like, we're good, everything's fine. We got places to be, we got people to meet, we got a promised land to get into. We don't have time for that. No, he didn't. Joshua paid attention and then just obeyed. He just did what God said to do. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't prolong it. He didn't kick the can down the road. No, he got 12 men together. Look at verse 4. Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Imagine that. They're probably looking at the water going, back in the middle of the Jordan? Yeah, back in the middle of the Jordan. And each one of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. These are not pebbles. These are not rocks. These are stones, boulders. Put one on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And these are to serve as a sign among you. This was no small thing. Imagine what this looked like. 12 huge stones piled up at their campsite. And I love this. He says, and in the future, down the road, imagine when your children ask you, well, what do these stones mean? Dad, what are these stones here for? Mom, what's going on here? I love that because you know how children do ask questions like that? Everything is, well, why? Well, where did that come from? Well, how come? Well, what made that so? And God's just saying, hey, you know what's going to happen. Your children are going to ask, what do these stones mean? And when they ask you, I want you to tell them this, that God doesn't want you to doubt in the dark what you learned in the light. I want you to remind them of what we learned in the light. Remind them of all that God had done in the light. Because those kids are going to face a day where it's going to look dark and it's going to feel dreary and they're going to feel isolated and they're going to feel scared and lonely and uncomfortable. And I want them to be able to point to the light even in the dark, because God knows that we're prone to doubt in the dark, the very thing we learned in the light. This is more than just remembering. He doesn't just say, take a picture, don't forget this. No, this is more than even that. It's creating something that gives you a reason to remember. God takes remembering and he upgrades it. He kicks it up a notch. He turns it up a level. Yeah, in verse 7, he says, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. What is a memorial? A memorial is, it's a place or it's an object to remind you of something. That these stones are, the Hebrew word is an Ebenezer. That these stones are a memorial of what God did. No, I'll never forget it. Yeah, you will. You'll forget it. But not if you have a memorial. And so he says, go create one. Verse 8, and so the Israelites, they did just as Joshua commanded them to do. And those stones, they are there even until this day. That as this was being recorded, that the author is going, hey, no, those stones are there. I mean, I've seen them. I'm sure someone was reading this in that day going like, oh, that's what those stones are for. I've always wondered. I mean, we've driven by it, we've seen it, and I've always asked, you know, that's what those are for. But what I love about this is that they had every reason not to put those stones up on their shoulders and take it to the camp and build this memorial. They had every reason not to do it. They could have been like, nah, we're good. We don't want it. But they didn't. Their response was immediate. It was unquestioning. They could have feared re-entering the Jordan. After all, it was parted at that moment. I mean, how long would it stay dry? What kind of fears did they have that they had to put aside and then without hesitation, obey God's instruction? They did it. Yeah, they could have said, no, we'll remember. We won't forget. Are you kidding me? But they said, no, we're going to make sure that we don't ever forget this. We're going to make sure that we don't forget to remember. So what about you? What is it that God has done in the light for you? What is the light of your past that illuminates God's faithfulness that needs to shine its way into today? Or what is the light that God has done recently that you need to memorialize so you don't forget it next time you're in the dark? I don't know about you, but it's one of the most difficult things about the dark is that when you're in the dark, it's so easy to doubt. Are things ever going to change? Is it ever going to get back to normal? Is life ever going to be the same? Is God ever going to come through? But it's even more difficult in the dark without those moments of light. And so to avoid this, we've got to actively recognize that it's God's faithfulness that allows us to even enjoy the light. That the light that's found in remembering God's faithfulness, it provides hope, which helps dispel or overcome or illuminate the darkness, especially in the wilderness. So would you do this? Would you do the very thing that God commanded Joshua to command the 12 to do? Would you remember what God has done in the light to bring hope into the darkness of the wilderness? You can't just stop at remembering. No, God knows that we're prone to forget. So he says, create something to remind you. More than just remembering, we have to memorialize what God did in the light so you can point to what he can do in the dark. When we memorialize what God did in the light and create this object, this Ebenezer, this thing that we can say, look, this is what we hold up. This is what we point to. This is what reminds us of his light. So that when we're in the dark, we can see it as a reminder of what he might want to do even still. So what did you learn in the light? What did God do in the light? Don't forget it. No, remember it. Memorialize it. I mean, if it's something you need to do with the selfie stick, take a picture. Take a picture of it and put it somewhere. But whatever it is, whatever God did, just know you're likely to forget it. And when you're in the dark, you're going to need to remember it. So let me just give you some ideas in case maybe you're interested in some ideas. Hey, maybe it's a place. Maybe you go, oh, that's the place we go every year. That's our spot. Or maybe it's a verse that you hold on to. Maybe it's a person or a picture of that person. Look at what God did through that person. Maybe it's an item. Maybe it's a journal. Maybe it's a song. You know, it's that song that we always play this time of year, or that song that reminds us of what happened. Or maybe it's a box. Maybe it's something that you create, something that you do as a family, or something that you do with your friends. Either way, the point is to memorialize this, to remember this by creating something. In Joshua 4, it was a stone that they put on their shoulders. In Joshua 5, I'll go ahead and forecast. I'll tell you what's coming if you do decide to read this. In Joshua 5, the sign is circumcision. So either way, you've got two not so great options. I would suggest creating your own. But don't stop at remembering. People forget, paper doesn't. Write it down. Create something. Create an Ebenezer to remember God's faithfulness. See, the wilderness is already dark, but it doesn't have to be so dark. Create a memorial of the light so that you won't forget, so that you can remember exactly what God did. He came through before, and maybe he can come through now. Honestly, I am, my temperament is good at thinking of things that we should do, but I'm not always good at the follow through, which is why it's just another reason why I'm so in love with my wife, because she's just great at this. If she says she's going to do it, she's going to do it. If she has an idea that this is a way to memorialize it, she does it. And so for our older three kids who have all put their faith in Jesus through the great leaders they've had in our kids' ministry, we've gone to Jumpstart as a family and listened to what it means to repent of our sin and accept God's forgiveness and his love, his sacrifice on the cross, and to receive his gift of eternal life that he provides for us through his resurrection. Those moments of praying with our kids are moments that I don't ever want to forget. I can still remember each one of them, where we were, what the conversation was like. And the reason why it's so easy to remember is because after we had that conversation, my wife would take each one of them to a little pottery place, a little craft store, where they would get one of these. This is our daughter, Sally. And on November the 4th, just last year, Sally put her faith in Jesus. And so we got to go paint this cross together. And now this hangs in her room. In fact, she was very concerned about me using it today, so I've got to make sure to return it to its rightful place. But this is not just a cross. No, this is something more than that. This is a memorial. This is an Ebenezer to God's faithfulness that our hope is, as parents, our hope is that if there's ever a day where she's in the dark, if there's ever a day where she feels like she's walking through a wilderness, nervous about what's coming, afraid of what might be around the next turn, that she would look at this and go, you know what? God's come through before, and I know he can do it again. God has given me salvation before, and I know he can come through in this moment as well. I hope it's something that she never, ever forgets. She's prone to forget it, but she's got this to look at and go, that is a reminder of God's faithfulness. And so what we're gonna do really is just a practice, to practice this together, is we're gonna sing a song. And this song may just be a memorial for you. Singing is a form of memorializing something God has done. And so while we sing this song, maybe you're gonna think about something that God has done, and maybe this song will become your Ebenezer. The song just simply says, yes, I will. I'm gonna lift you high even when I'm in the lowest valley. Yes, I will. I'm gonna bless your name. Oh, yes, I will. Sing for joy even when my heart is heavy for all my days. Yes, I will. So I would just love to encourage you. I'm gonna pray for us, but then I would just love it if you would take a moment wherever you are. Just sing this song. And as you're singing it, would you choose to remember the things that God has done? The blessings, the miracles that he's done in the light. Because it can bring hope even to the darkness. Heavenly Father, we just echo the words of that song, God, that we're going to choose to, even when we're in the valley, we're going to choose to lift you high. And even when it feels like there are no blessings around us, we're going to give you a blessing. And even when it feels like our hearts are heavy, we're going to choose to sing for joy, with joy, because of what you've done. So God, for the person that's hurting today, I just pray that you would bring healing to them. For the person that needs to know that you're with them, I pray that you would bring your presence to them. God, for the person that needs to know your love today, I pray that you would allow them to feel it in a unique way. God, I pray that they wouldn't just move past this day, but that they would remember it and they would memorialize it as a sign, as a reminder of who you are, how faithful you are, how good you are, how kind you are. And God, when any of us can't think of a reason to sing, I pray that we'll look to the cross. What you've done for us, the sacrifice you made to show your love, to forgive us of our sins, to offer us life beyond this life. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy in all my days. Oh yes, I will. Oh, 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 oh. Yes, I. Count on
that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out.